This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Tomorrow, the politics, economics, and the future of satellite radio. That's tomorrow on Talk of the Nation. Last night, the Houston Astros beat the Atlanta Braves 12-3 and overcame their long history of playoff frustration. After losing in the first round all seven times they reached Major League Baseball's postseason tournament, the Astros finally advance. Tomorrow they go to St. Louis to play the Cardinals for the National League pennant. The American League Championship gets underway tonight in Yankee Stadium with another round in the game's most storied rivalry, the Boston Red Sox and the New York Yankees. So who do you like and why, and why does this matter so much? Our phone number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. Joining us now by phone from Yankee Stadium is our baseball pal, Alan Schwartz, a senior writer for Baseball America, columnist for the New York Times. Good to talk with you again, Alan.
I'm good to be here, Neil. Thanks for having me.
Alan, the experts have installed the Cardinals as heavy favorites to win in the National League, and most people give Boston the edge this time around against the Yankees. Is that how you see it?
Well, that's how I see it, too. But the thing is you never know what's going to happen in playoff baseball. It's such a small amount of time that, you know, Houston can get lucky in a couple of games and all of a sudden be up 2-0 on the Cardinals, and you don't know what's going to happen. And I think that the Red Sox are a better team than the Yankees, but you just never know. And you just can't make one team too much of a favorite, I think, going into the playoffs, because so many weird things can take place, and then you look foolish.
Statisticians, of course, deal in, minimum seasons, careers even better. Seven-game series must give you guys fits.
Oh, sure. I mean, anything, like I said, anything can happen, in the sense that if you have a 60% favorite in every game, just say you have a team that is so much of a favorite, they're going to win 60% of any game. Well, they're going to lose a seven-game series 30% of the time, just in dumb bad luck. There's nothing you can do about it. And certainly the Oakland A's have had their share of that. The Braves have had their share of that over the years. Now, their failures go a little bit past what you can ascribe to just luck, but a lot of it is bad luck, too. And that's why we play the games, because we don't know how it's going to work out. Mm-hmm. But for now, it's awfully exciting to know that, look, what's about to happen is unscripted, no matter what Red Sox fans might think, and no matter how sadistic Yankee fans want to be. We don't know how this one's going to work out, and that's why we watch.
Well, every year, I mean, we keep hearing how the characteristics of winning teams, teams designed to win in the regular season, are different from teams designed to win in the postseason. Pitching and defense are supposed to win games in the postseason.
Well, pitching and defense often wins games in retrospect. I mean, you look back and you say, gee, this team pitched pretty well, or gee, this team played pretty good defense, and that's why they won. But if you look at teams that have the good pitching and defense going into the series, you're not going to be any more right picking those teams than any other. I mean, look at the teams that are now in the final four for baseball: the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Astros, and the Cardinals. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but they have to be four of the top eight offensive teams in the game. They hit the crap out of the ball. So you have to think that, you know, that's one of the reasons they're here, right? And sure, the team that pitches well will prevail. But you can't. It's very tough to analyze before it happens.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you about one of the teams you just mentioned. The Atlanta Braves have had an unprecedented run. 13 straight divisional titles?
Yeah. Yeah, and maybe what you're getting at is that, you know, they always went into the postseason with the pitching, maybe not quite the defense, but, you know, they had Glavin and Maddox and Smoltz and Denny Nagel and Kevin Millwood and Steve Avery, and all, they had the best rotation in the game, and they still lost every year. The A's had the rotation of Tim Hudson and Barry Zito and Mark Mulder. They had every reason to win in these short series, and they haven't done it yet. So it's something where it's very easy to come up with reasons why teams won, but coming up with them before it happens is indescribably difficult.
Irate Atlanta Braves fans can put down their phones. We do remember they did come through and win the World's Championship in 1995.
Yes, and on the strength of a great pitching performance from Tom Glavin, if we remember correctly. You know, like I said, everyone has theories for why things happen, but I defy anyone to predict what will happen with any consistency.
Hmm. Now, every sports section around the country has a little bit of box this morning on how the two teams playing tonight are going to match up, starting pitching, hitting, bullpen, defense. Are any of those statistically valid?
Oh, sure. Sure, absolutely. I mean, I think we can rate different parts of the teams and say that, gee, the Red Sox, front two of Curt Schilling and Pedro Martinez, I mean, those guys are really good compared to the Yankees' front two. Okay, who would have to be Mike Mussina and either John Lieber or Kevin Brown, depending on how you look at the strength of those two pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
There are all sorts of ways to look at these things, but you still don't know how they're going to interface when the games begin. I mean, for instance, you can have a die that, you know, theoretically should come up a four one out of six times. But, you know, you might roll two fours in a row, and it defies explanation. You don't know why it happened, but that's what randomness is. It is unpredictable.
Yeah.
And baseball is a game in which randomness is woven through it in ways that are sometimes obvious and sometimes quite hidden.
I can hear the Red Sox and the Cubs fans already saying, random, what is random? It's since 1918 here.
Well, you know, Penn Jillette had a wonderful quote. He said, luck is probability taken personally.
Okay.
And I think that that's applicable here. So many things could have happened last year and the Red Sox would have won. One of the reasons that people say, you know, gee, in playoff baseball, you know, there's always a different hero, whether it's Brian Doyle or Mark Lemke or, you know, somebody who we didn't think was going to do well does well. Well, that's baseball, because you never know who's going to come through in one or two games. Any schmo can go 3-for-4 with a couple of doubles.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he won't do it in the long term. We know that. But, I mean, Freddie Patek, the little tiny shortstop for the Kansas City Royals, once hit 3 home runs in a game. How do you explain that? You can't. And when you put so much importance and so much hype on one or two or seven games here in October, it doesn't change the nature of baseball. And just like in the middle of May, if you look at a box score and somebody you never would have thought of had, you know, either went 4-for-4 or had 2 home runs, that's going to happen tonight. And that's going to happen sometime in the Yankees-Red Sox series. It's going to happen in the Cardinals-Astros series. We can't predict who those guys are going to be, but that's why we watch.
So we're taking your calls on which team you like and why does it matter all so much? 800-989-8255, email totn@npr.org. We'll begin with Hillary, who's calling from the home of the current world's champions in Miami, Florida.
That's right. From Miami, yes.
And you're on the air. Go ahead, Hillary.
I think that if you watch baseball, there's possibility to end wars. And my theory is that when your own team isn't in it, as unfortunately mine isn't, then you just get to root against the teams that you've hated your whole life. And me being from San Francisco, I've always hated the Dodgers. And, of course, everybody loves to hate the Braves. And both of those teams have gone down, much to my pleasure. And now I get to, you know, root for the Yankees to just completely fall on their faces. And I think this satisfies all of my anger and frustration, and if more people did that and just rooted against the teams they hated, that, you know, we probably wouldn't be in Iraq. That's my theory on baseball.
Well, it sounds to me, Hillary, as if perhaps you're rooting for the Houston the Houston-Boston showdown in the World Series, because it's a little microcosm of Kerry versus Bush.
I hadn't thought of that, but yeah, I'll go for that one. But see, it doesn't matter. As long as the Yankees go down, it really doesn't matter. See, that's the beauty of watching baseball, to root against the teams you hate.
Mm-hmm. You don't have much of a good time come October, do you, Hillary?
Oh, you know, it's so funny. My husband says to this, what are you going to do when this is over? And that's a real, because I'm not a football fan. So I'm in big trouble. I think my family's very worried.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, and good luck to the Marlins next year.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye, Hillary.
Bye.
We're talking with Alan Schwartz about the Major League postseason schedule. He's the author of The Numbers Game, Baseball's Lifelong Fascination with Statistics. He's on the line with us from Yankee Stadium in New York. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get another caller on the line. Donald's with us from Bernie, Texas.
Good afternoon, Mr. Schwartz. Thank you so much. I didn't know your book addressed this facet of stats, but I'm a practitioner of applied risk management.
Oh, wonderful.
I was thrilled when I heard your small speech just now about randomness.
Thank oh, well, not to be a shameless plug here, but Chapter 10 of my book is all about randomness in baseball and how Nobel laureates in the 40s and 50s and up through Stephen Jay Gould and Ed Purcell at Harvard spent their evenings trying to figure out where randomness existed in baseball and where it exists and where it doesn't. Are slumps and streaks things that really do happen, and are they self-perpetuating, or are they just, you know, the way the die rolls sometimes? Interestingly, the first man to publish an academic paper about baseball was Frederick Mosteller, who is still alive at Harvard University, published it in 1951, specifically talking about how the World Series is really a crummy way to crown the champion when seven games is quite obviously not enough to determine who's better. And ever since then, a lot of other people have spent a lot of time looking at where randomness lies in baseball, and it's all over the place. It's great stuff.
I use Monte Carlo simulation in my work, and I'm on the way into a Barnes & Noble right now to buy your book. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thanks for the call, Donald. Every year we also hear about how the managers are going to make the difference, the difference between, Frank Kona for the Red Sox and Joe Torre for the Yankees. Is there any way to measure how much difference, if any, a manager makes?
Well, thank you for bringing that up. This was unscripted, folks, just like the games tonight. That's going to be my column in the New York Times on Sunday, is looking at different managers and seeing, who really gets the most out of his talent? Are there guys who succeed, picking the right pinch hitters more than others? Are there guys who put in the proper reliever at the right time more than others? And to be honest, I haven't come to any conclusions yet. I'm still looking at everything, but I'm quite certain, without betraying any bias, that it's going to come up that basically which manager you have often doesn't matter much at all. Joe Torre has done a fantastic job in getting the most out of his talent, winning a lot of one-run games, a lot of close games. But then again, that has a lot to do with having Mariano Rivera, the wonderful closer, on his team. So, check out the New York Times on Sunday, and I might have a little bit more hard data for you.
Okay, let's get another caller on the line. Steve joins us from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Well, my question was a lot to do with the same topic, because I'm a Minnesota Twins fan, and the current incarnation of the Minnesota Twins has been really good at losing in the playoffs the past 3 years, and the Atlanta Braves have been good at it over the past decade, and Oakland A's the same thing. So is that just a statistical coincidence, or is it something that points out either...
It's a curse, Steve.
Well, it could be a curse.
Well, I think one thing, what's really wonderful is how now, and this is great stuff, I'm not picking at you. I mean, the Twins fans are complaining now that their team is losing in the playoffs every year. I mean, they are in the playoffs every year, and which is quite a feat for the club with a payroll and a incentive and a stadium situation like the Twins. It was only a few years ago they were going to be contracted by Major League Baseball. I do not think that there are a whole lot of concrete reasons why the Twins, the Braves, and the A's have lost in the first round a lot lately. Of course, the Twins won in the first round a couple of years ago against the A's. Of course, when you have two teams face each other, one of them has to win, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly believe it mostly comes down to the fact that it's a short series. And a lot of times, really good teams go 2-3 in five-game stretches. It happens all the time. Remember the 1998 Yankees, the team that won 114 regular season games. They started the season 1-4, and everyone was calling for Joe Torre's head. It was silly, because good teams go 1-4, guys. It's not anything to go crazy about. But if you go 1-4 in the playoffs, you're in big trouble, and you look like a choker. It's just the heightened scrutiny and the expectation that all teams should play well in the playoffs, and it just doesn't work that way.
Hmm. Thanks for the call, Steve, and better luck next year. We just have 30 seconds left. Let's just take the teams that are starting this evening. What are you going to be looking for as you watch the game? What will the Yankees do well if they're going to win this series? What will the Red Sox do well if they're to win this series?
I think if the Yankees get a lead, even a small lead, a 4-3 type lead, their starting pitchers, Mike Mussina, John Lieber, Kevin Brown, if they can deliver a lead to the bullpen, to Tom Gordon and to Mariano Rivera, that is the way the Yankees need to operate. I don't think they're going to be coming back for a whole lot of wins. They can't count on that. the pitchers, if the pitchers deliver leads to the bullpen, they're going to be a very tough team to beat, no matter what Boston's offense is like.
Mm-hmm. Though the Yankees came back a record 61 times this year and 3 times against the Minnesota Twins to win the first round of the playoffs.
That's true, but that's in part because their starting pitchers weren't very good and they had the offense to come back. But I don't think that's going to happen this year. I think they're going to have to win a little bit more conventionally.
Alan Schwartz, the author of The Numbers Game, speaking with us by phone from Yankee Stadium. Have a great time tonight, Alan.
Oh, thanks very much, Neil. Take care.
In Washington, regrettably, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.